I'm Deva Flowers.
And I'm Chief Bob Vasquez.
Welcome to Creating Leaders of Character.
Our purpose in creating this podcast is to help you empower yourself as a leader.
Specifically, as a leader of character.
Deva and I come from two very different times. You might consider me an old school kind of leader.
And I'm what might be considered an emerging leader.
As different as our perspectives may be, we both agree that leading with character is important these days. Actually, it's always been important. Now, it may even be critical.
Throughout this podcast, we'll share our perspectives, not to convince you to think like either of us, but to help you develop your own perspectives and apply them to make you a better leader.
A leader of character. This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight. Well, last week, Mrs. Deva, we got a little deep on this topic of values. Maybe we'll get deep again. I don't know. I hope our listeners are willing to go with us. But I hope you had a good week back in school. Now, as I understand, because it's been my years since my kids are, well, I have kids that are in school, but they're in Missouri. But spring break is different for everybody, right? I mean, different dates.
Sometimes. I think it depends on the region. I know that Texas elementary schools, middle schools, college, they're all lined up. A lot of times they try and match the ISDs together. So, but I don't know if in Colorado it's different.
Well, I guess. Like I say, I don't know. One of my granddaughters is here in school, and I think they started spring break this week. But most of my family is in New Mexico, and their spring break was last week. Which is probably a good thing, not for the whole country to go, you know, be on break. Although in Europe, they do this, you know, in August, everybody takes a break for the whole month. In Germany, at least, you know, and I remember, like, you know, you couldn't get anything done in August. You either better get it done before or wait till September, because August, they shut down, period. But I don't know that that's good. I don't know that we as Americans would accept it, but
there's memes going around about, hey, honey, what should we do with our 174 days of leave from Europe and European countries? And I don't know, maybe I'd like to live that way. You're learning that right now, aren't you?
I had breakfast with one of my favorite people. He hired me to come to the Air Force Academy 20 years ago. And he's about to retire, and he asked me a similar thing, and I said, you know, the key is to have purpose. That's a topic I want to get into eventually here, maybe in the next couple episodes. But if you don't have a purpose, I've had a lot of friends who, I mean, literally died soon after they retired because they had no purpose. They had nothing to do, you know. And after you know, in the military, we go 100 miles an hour. 24/7. You keep going. But if you're not careful, you're liable to keel over, you know, because you're not taking care of the vessel. So, it's a matter of having a purpose. And that comes from your values. So let's finish up our conversation with values. Now, you're talking about Hiroshima? This is, you value the atomic bomb?
No.
Come on, Flowers. What are you talking about?
I said, hey, Chief, big values discussion. Maybe we should talk about how they decided to drop the atomic bomb. That's a pretty big world-changing event that people have different ideas about. But I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't want or desire to talk about the atomic bomb. It's not my might be an interesting subject, but it's not like I take pleasure from it.
Well, and like everything in life, and as you get older, you'll understand more. It's a matter of choice. You know, what do you choose, this or that? I think, was there a movie with Denzel called John Q? That's probably before your time. If you have an opportunity, watch it. If I remember the plot, because it's Denzel and it's great. If it's Denzel, it's great, period. But he's trying to feed his family and can't. So as I recall, he takes over, I think, a bank or something, decides that's the only way to feed his family. And he does that, which is, of course, illegal. And then he has, I can't think of the term. There's people in there that he keeps in there with him. And, you know, in the whole movie, I don't know, two or three 2.5 hours of what happens between him taking over the bank and eventually getting out. And I don't remember if there's actually a resolution, but at least it asks, you know, when you have to make that decision, do I do that or do I not? What is the lesser of two evils? I don't know if you're old enough to have done that yet. I have, and it's not good, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. So you're smart enough. You have the capability to get on the net, right, and find out what John Q is about.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't remember the details, but nonetheless, like I said, it's Denzel, and it really is a great movie. But it's about making choices, you know, values choices. What is most important, your family or the law?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that definitely comments on what we talked about earlier with we were talking about gangs and we were talking about potential loss of life in deciding to leave. And that's a huge thing. And so when we're talking about the atomic bomb, I mean, all of that is about life and death and whether or not you value. So there's a few considerations and not all of them are even. Like you can't just say, do we value Japanese citizens or do we value soldiers? Like it's very, very complicated, but obviously there's the question of the soldiers that would be fighting until November, the bomb was dropped in August, the beginning of August. And so how many lives would potentially be lost between that time? And then something that was really interesting to me that was another point of consideration and values that I don't think they necessarily talk about in high school was the POWs that were in Japan and the fact that there had been lots of trauma and killings that had happened in December that year before of those soldiers and what would happen to them if, you know, one of the considerations that we can talk about is the United States didn't really warn the Japanese people. They didn't say, hey, we have a bomb and we're going to use it. They said, we're going to commit total and utter destruction, basically, was the wording that they sent to the Japanese and asked them to surrender before they dropped the bomb. But yeah, that one of the questions was, if we warn them, what will they do to the POWs?
Right.
Yeah, so very complicated.
And of course, especially, I don't know, have you ever studied just war?
Yeah, just war theory.
Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, there's no solution. I don't think there's ever a solution, but it's a good philosophical conversation as to what is just and what isn't. I mean, I don't know, war itself, is it just? We can argue that for, depending on what side you're on, for a long, long time. But war sucks, Deva, you know, and there's never anything good about it. I mean, it's happening in Ukraine right now. It's probably other parts of the world that we don't hear of because the media doesn't let us know. But even internally, I mean, there's war in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Austin is, because that's where you're living, right? In Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in Austin.
Well, and haven't you had some like gang stuff going on and riots and all that kind of stuff?
Bunch of riots and protests, but also just smaller, interesting things like, you know, a random killing or a random gunshot or a random assault. Or I just saw a video about street racing. They were street racing through downtown not too long ago and just driving cars into crowds pretty much. Police officers trying to hold it back. But that seemed more of like a joke. Like they were throwing fireworks, I think it was, out on the streets just for fun. So, you know, right. What values do they have? You know, maybe a joke to them is a lot different than a joke to me, but.
Yeah. And well, and like last, I think it was last episode, we were talking about where do you gain your values? You know, where do you get this stuff? My sense is, and I think we agreed, it's in the environment, stuff that we, you know, people are modeling, what we're watching, all kinds of influencers. But I think in many ways what our culture is suffering through is they watch too many movies. They watch too much stuff on that's not real, you know. And if you, I mean, I think there's, you can do the research, but there are studies that kids, young kids, and who eventually become older kids, who eventually become adults, play games. you know, those killing games, and you probably know the names of them. I don't, because I don't have anybody around that does it. I don't do it. But they play these games where, you know, you kill people, and that becomes part of your psyche. It's okay to kill people. The movies, you know, somebody gets, I think you were talking about the John Travolta movie. What was that?
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. And if I remember right, there's a lot of killing. I saw it. Yeah. When it came out 100 years ago, and there's a lot of killing there, but all of those actors come back in another movie. So, you know, if you're watching videos, movies all the time, eventually your mind says, well, it doesn't matter if I kill this guy, because he'll come back. And that's not reality, you know? So again, those influence you, and I'm going to always argue that it's a choice, but if it's around you all the time, especially when you're young and you don't know any better, then you're going to think that it's okay because they'll come back in the next movie. There is no next movie.
Yeah, young children are very susceptible, I think, to any number of brain developments, good or bad. And I was just reading an article about, they call it the murder gene. And it actually is, I would say, proof, but, you know, I just read an article. I didn't really deep dive into it. I would say proof that some people are more susceptible to becoming serial murderers than others. And it's a very interesting story, because it was this neurologist that was studying the brain and was taking scans of different brains, and she had hundreds and hundreds of different scans, and she was paying attention to this one single part of the brain, and she was comparing it to people who had ended up actually being serial murderers. So she's looking at all of these brain scans of, you know, atypical people and then normal people and serial murderers. And she finds one, and she realizes that this person is not a serial murderer, but does have the portion of the brain that is the same as the serial murderers. And then she realizes it, that it's her own file. She just comes up on the fact that she's looking at her own brain, and she she goes back into the history and finds that it, her great great grandfather or something was a murderer, and that she does actually carry this same type of brain abnormality. So, yeah, just crazy stuff. But yeah, maybe unfortunately there's a young child who has this circumstance, that circumstance, good family, bad family, brain or abnormality, who knows? And maybe playing video games like that does affect them in a more negative way than maybe some kid that really recognizes that it's not actually okay to kill people. but yeah, who knows really what these effects are long term.
Well, and even short term, we started watching The Last of Us, I think, with Pedro Pascal. And are you familiar with that show?
No, I don't think so. I'm looking up.
I don't want to recommend it, but I do, because we got hooked on it. And it's based on a game, one of those games where you kill people. I don't, you know, again, you probably know the name of the game. I don't know. But it's funny because I can't remember that was so popular, that show, Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're familiar with that one.
I haven't watched it. It's very popular.
When it came out, I couldn't watch it in the evening before we went to bed, mm-hmm. because I would have, they weren't always nightmares, but I wouldn't sleep well because that would be in my head, you know, all that stuff that happened. And mm-hmm. not that I believe it would happen, although, you know, I'm Yaki, and part of our belief is that dreams are very powerful and important, and mm-hmm. they're telling you something. So, but nonetheless, the one with the Mandalorian guy, Pedro Pascal. Now, the other day when we were watching it, Deb says, I can't watch this in the evening. I said, why? She says, because I have nightmares. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, wow, you know, you gave me a hard time. I didn't say this because we've been married 45 years, and I want to make it to 46. But, you know, she gave me a hard time when I told her that about Game of Thrones, and now she's telling me that about this other show. But it affects you. You know, it's in your head, you know, and not that it, well, can it happen? I don't know. Did you look it up?
Yeah. Yeah. It does look like a video game. I don't know. I don't know specifically what video game it reminds me of, but
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah. And I've never seen those games. You know, I don't do that. I have no idea what it's all about. But again, it's based on that video game, which, as I understand it has to be based on killing and dying, because there's a lot of that in the movie or the show. It's good. It comes out weekly. But anyway, the more you see that stuff, the more I think you get desensitized. I think that's the term.
Yeah.
That it doesn't really bother you anymore because, oh yeah, again, like I said, that guy, I saw that in the movie and he came back.
Yeah.
You know, it's, well, that's not true, and you know, that's not real. That's just a movie, and it's hard to explain that, especially again to a youngster. I remember my daughter, my granddaughter, Pequeña, little tiny person. That's why we call her Pequeña. But she used to want to go into the. We have a big screen TV. She used to want to go into it,
Yeah.
to be part of the cartoon and all that. You know, and it's like they don't know the difference. We don't know the difference a lot of times. You know, so infidelity. You know, is that okay? How many wives from New York or wives from Tennessee or real wives or what? How many of those? You know, the Bachelor. You know, to me that Deb likes watching that. I guess she likes to see the guy. But it's like, really, you're gonna pick from these 20 people who are gonna compete for your love?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
sure, go ahead. You know, I guess it makes money because there's sponsors. But that's not to me. That's not real. That's not how life happens.
And people shouldn't pretend that it's real. There's this new show that really I was just captivated by for about 35 seconds because I was trying to figure out how is this a thing, but it's Married at First Sight or Married, you know, True Love After the First Date, or I don't remember the TV series, but they match two people together and they're forced to live together and be married. And I'm like, I don't think we should talk about what it is to be married
Yeah.
first. The other thing too, I mean, you showed me that The Last of Us, and I was just looking it up, and there's zombies, right? There's zombies in there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess they're zombies. I don't know.
I don't know. I couldn't, like, a fungal infection is what it says, but I
Right.
could never get over zombies. I never really wanted to enjoy watching zombies, and it
Yeah.
seems like all the men in my life right now are okay with being desensitized. Like, my brother is a giant film geek, really, really skilled at telling you anything about any movie, and my husband is somewhat the same, but both of them can watch things together that I wouldn't necessarily want to. And it's just maybe this is a good convicting end note for us to end on, is I see them watch things like this that maybe in a movie context have a plot, have a story, maybe they even have a good story. But then I see these reels kind of creep in, and the reels that I see people listening to sometimes get into this really weird niche of something horrific. Like, we were talking about the atomic bomb, but I've seen, you know, car crashes, people falling down, old people falling down, things that I think are morally apprehensible. And maybe I'm stuck up, but I see that video, and it's sometimes it really gets to me. Sometimes it's paired with a laughing audio, or like a goofy audio that makes you laugh at it. And I'm seeing this car crash on the screen, and this humorous, like, laugh, laugh, you should laugh at this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just, I don't know. I think it's demonic. I think it's so bad for people. And you know, my guy friends are the men in my life. You know, they'll probably hear me out, but at the same time, they're like, it's a joke, get over it. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's
But
just,
is it, you know, and when does the joke end?
Yeah.
And who's the butt of it, you know? So we got to be careful for, you know, because I think, you know, I'm a humorous kind of guy, and I love jokes, especially about myself and even my culture. And I think, what is it, the woke people or whatever that thing is with
Yeah.
woke? I don't even know what that means, but the canceling folks and all that. I think especially with comedy, if you start doing that, you just took a huge freedom from people. But
Yeah.
at the same time, it's like Don Rickles. You probably don't know the name. But Don Rickles, his whole shtick was embarrassing people, talking bad about him, you know, dissing them, I think is the term we would use.
Yeah.
And that was his whole shtick. It wouldn't fly anymore. He'd be canceled by now. But that's what it was. And when you watched him on television or went to his shows, you knew that's what you were going to get. And I think we were mature enough at the time to understand that this is not real. And he's not, because he seemed like a really nice guy. But he, you know, his thing was to, I mean, if you ever listened to him, his mind was like, I love listening to him because how can you think like that so fast? You know, because he came up with a lot of stuff. But anyway, so we got to be careful, of course, what we value. But we do value, and I think the important thing is that our values eventually evolve into our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we do what we do? We should talk about that. Let's do that. Let's talk about that.
Sounds good.
Why do we do what we do? Now, I know why I do what I do. And she's upstairs telling me, come have breakfast. 45 years, I'll talk to your husband and train him, okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
See you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope that there was something that you heard in this episode that will help empower you to become a better leader.
A leader of character. If you'd like to connect with us, please email us at cloc@leadershipandforesight.org.
Until next time, be great. This podcast is powered by the Institute for Leadership and Strategic Foresight.